I said, they were very nice in the Navy building. And one thing that struck me is the Navy personnel do not wear uniforms there at all, except a guard and a Marine guard at the front desk. Of course, they have many American military personnel in Britain. And I didn't mention, but when we got to Westmalling, of course, it really is an RAF base, but we are there, too. I understand we're going to be moving from Westmalling to a place called Mildenhall. It's a very small Navy attachment, a squadron there that flies in and out. Well, anyhow, I got a cab, and cabs in London are really something. They all look like they were made in 1939. They couldn't possibly have been made, not all of them, but they all have that look, you know, they're very old-looking, and so like something out of a movie, I guess. I've never seen anything quite like it. They don't look a bit modern. And they have the glass, you know, with the sliding glass, so you really can't have any conversation with the taxi cab driver unless he opens the glass and you yell at him. But before I go on further, I think I ought to say right now that I think Americans coming over to Europe, coming from America like I did when I first came over to Ireland and also my trips to Germany and all before, really cannot appreciate the Northern European countries unless they've lived in a Southern European country. And I mean lived there, not just visited. Now, I suppose that's making a rather broad statement, but I don't think they can, because we have so much that, when we take so much for granted, that it's difficult for us to realize how much more people in the British Isles have than most of Europe. And I don't know. At least to me, I think I saw it out of different eyes than I'd seen it before, you know. Perhaps that's why I did enjoy them so much, because my other experience with the British, just that one time in the airline company, was not particularly pleasant. And yet I flew BEA throughout Europe and really enjoyed it so much. And I did take a BEA, that's British European Airways, flight at 6 o'clock. 5:50, I guess. 6 o'clock, right, 6 o'clock. To Ireland. And first of all, you have to go into a very modern air terminal right in the center of London. It's called West London Air Terminal. And then you take a bus out to the airport. Now, the airport's some 17 miles from London proper, so it really isn't feasible to take a cab or anything like that. So I did take the bus and got out there and got on the plane. Of course, they serve tea and sandwiches. Always go with their tea, and it was egg sandwich and cheese. And even though it was a British company that flew it, and I sort of tongue-in-cheek to myself because they were serving a meatless tea at that time, I must tell you that in going to Ireland, the announcements were both made in Irish and in English. I say Irish because I was told that Irish is not necessarily Gaelic. The Gaelic language is very old and hasn't changed, but that the Irish language has added so many new words to it, like a telephone or airplane and things like that, or airmail, airfost for airmail, that it's called Irish now. But anyhow, I got kind of a kick out of that. And so when I got into Dublin, I asked the Aer Lingus hostesses to call this place in Glasnevin's for me, where I had stayed before. Remember, I had stayed with the Macaulays in that guest house in Glasnevin's, which is just 5-10 minutes out of Dublin. And they did. And made reservations for me. Now, I left England at 1750, and I arrived in Glasnevin's at 1940, so you can imagine that that was very good time. Now, when I got there, I was rather surprised, because apparently the Macaulays sold it to another couple who were very nice, not as nice as the Macaulays, I must say. Mrs. Macaulay did everything but stand on her head to make you feel at home, and I'm certain that that's one of the reasons that they sold it. Probably she spent so much time being nice to people that, and serving tea 100 times during the day and all, that she didn't or was not able to make a great deal of money at it. I don't know. But an Irishman, a young fellow, probably about 30, and his wife, who was a German-born girl, and who immigrated to Ireland just a few years ago and speaks English with such a brogue. Really, I was surprised to learn she was born in Germany. I think in Posnia, the part that's now Poland, that was given to the Poles after World War II. So they said, of course, that, you know, they'd be delighted to have me. And while she was very nice, and so was he, they didn't have the hospitality that the Macaulays had. Now, don't misunderstand me, they were very hospitable, but not as much, you know. So I went in, they had a TV set, and when I was there before, of course, there was no TV. So I went in and I watched Irish TV programs, and one was The Nurses, which is an American program, and the other was a quiz program, and it was really something. Their gifts, of course, aren't anything like the $64,000 question, things like that. And they had one woman on that was very good. And they had something that they call dip or delete. They could either delete or take a chance on a prize and dip the hand into something. And some things they would get would be like one old used straw. What they might get, a pound note or something, so you really, they couldn't tell. And there was a couple of other people staying there. There was a Scotsman by the name of Jack, appropriately, and a Mr. Donnellan in Ireland, who had lived in the States for many years and then retired to Ireland. Very nice gentleman. And I had many conversations with him and enjoyed him very much. The Scotsman was a bit of a blowhard in a way. But most of these people have worked all over the world, you know, in the British Isles. They've worked in India and South Africa and all, and he talked a great deal about his experiences. But one of the things that I got a kick out of the Scotsman, they were watching a TV ad of a girl with Pond's face cream, you know, removing her makeup with Pond's face cream and all this, and finally the Scotsman couldn't take it any longer, and he said, "Does she never wash?" And I got a kick out of that. So anyhow, that brings me up to Saturday, and I'm not getting very far on this tape. But first of all, let me tell you this, too, that Ireland, even in 3 years, has changed tremendously. Dublin is, perhaps I didn't notice this as much before, you know, but the women in Dublin dress quite fashionably and are very nicely dressed. And it was difficult to distinguish an American. I mean, for example, on site, they wouldn't have picked me out as an American, where here in Spain, you would never have any doubt. But, and the Irish girls do dress quite nicely. Of course, for the climate, you know, they wear tweeds and all, but in the climate, you need that sort of thing. And it was a bit nippy up there. And whereas as 3 years ago, there were many, many bicycles, particularly in downtown Dublin, this is now all cars, and Dublin has been rerouted for traffic. So the economy of the country has improved, whether people think so or not. My goodness, just the fact that you see so many cars instead of bicycles and TV sets and many, many more buildings. In fact, they're building a skyscraper. It's kind of a union, I think, that's doing it, an Irish union of some sort. I don't know exactly. And, I mean, it's 21 stories or 19 stories, which is a skyscraper for them. It's right along the River Liffey. The ducks were out, but the swans weren't out. Too cold for them, I guess. And I think that many more stores have sprung up all over Dublin. And as I say, I think certainly even in the past 3 years, the economy of the people has improved tremendously. And on Saturday, I went shopping, and many of the stores are closed on Saturday. If that isn't a laugh, huh? Particularly on Grafton Street. But I went over to Colette's, and I bought some clothes. I bought a suit for $33. It's a dark green tweed, and it has, you know,